Won't forget about the day we left. Every heart still beats with the hope of a promise made, a promise kept.
ROTC program, and I was commissioned, graduated from college, and went into the Army.
I spent a year in Afghanistan in 2008 in a combat role.
I had two young daughters under the age of six. The first time I had been away from my family for an extended period of time, there were real risks of me not coming home. I was at a pretty low point. And it was asking him daily for guidance and peace.
June 23rd, 2008. We're tracking a vehicle coming out of the desert, kind of at an angle towards us. The car sped up and jumped up on the road in front of us. And, you know, the next thing we knew, there was an explosion. He detonated himself. So I got back to base and had an email from my wife asking me to call home. And my mom had been battling cancer for a couple of years, and she, you know, she informed me that probably was only, you know, a month or so before, you know, it looks like she was probably gonna not make it. You have no control. I knew that I didn't have the luxury of going into a mourning state over my mom at that point, because I had 15 soldiers depending on me to make clear decisions to get them through whatever the next mission was. All you can do at that point is just ask God for guidance and protection. I don't necessarily see courage as running into battle. I think the real courage is putting your faith in God, that it will work out to His good.
As we think this morning, there's all kinds of ways courage has been shown. We're talking about the battle begins. That's what our story is today. And the group that just put on that song for Joshua song, didn't they do an awesome job? It's just amazing. The CD that accompanies this series that we're doing is available in the bookstore, but you will find, I really think that our team has done such an incredible job through that. You're just going to be continue to be impressed as we walk through these each of these songs, because they relate directly to the message of what we're trying to share each point. What kind of courage is needed in your life? And what kind of things that are necessary? And so as we're talking about what that looks like and what that means, there's all kinds of ways that courage is needed for each one of us and each one of us to be able to show. I want to just ask a question. If you have been in the military and you've faced enemy fire, would you stand? We'd just like to express our appreciation for your courage. If you've faced enemy fire... Thank you. Thank you so much for your service, and we greatly appreciate that you have given. All of us have to have courage in different ways. There's different things that are happening in our world. I'm excited about the book signing today. George and Jessica, would you stand? They've written a book called In God We Trust, and they're going to be doing that down at the bookstore. Let's appreciate, because that's courage as well, and so thank you for taking a stand. There's ways that you need to demonstrate courage in your everyday life. And I don't know what it is that you've needed courage for, but every one of us, if we're going to take a stand for right and for truth and for the right directions in our lives and in our world, it's going to take courage. And it's going to be important that you would be able to have courage demonstrated in your own life. Maybe it's in a workplace that you need courage, where you need to stand for Christ, and no one else is, and you're being pressured to be able to maybe do the wrong thing, or maybe to by your boss to be able to sign something that's not appropriate and it's not true, and you're asked to be able to verify that, and you have to take courage to say, I can't do that. I'm sorry, I just can't. It may cost me my job, but I can't do that. Maybe there's a situation where you are really taking courage to be able to stand and to be accountable for the right thing and doing the right thing. Maybe it's in your marriage and you need to take spiritual leadership, men, and you need to take courage to be able to say, it's a responsibility I have and I need to move forward in that. Maybe it's in a relationship issue and you're being pressured to go too far and you know that's not right and you may lose this relationship, but you have to take a stand. Or maybe you're in a relationship that's inappropriate and you shouldn't be doing it, and you need to take courage to say, I can't do that. Whatever it is, courage is needed in our lives and in our world. And each one of us have to make sure that we are willing to do that. Joshua was one of those. He was willing to take a stand. He was willing to demonstrate courage in his world and his life. And so the people's response was, whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. That's a message that each one of us needs to have in our world. Would you read that with me? Whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts, teach us this morning by your Holy Spirit, and we'll give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. First, let me say, God chose a courageous leader. When we look at Joshua, we see God chose a courageous leader, somebody who was willing to take a stand, somebody who was willing to be able to move forward. We saw, as we talked about last week, and the Moses and his leadership and what he did, there were two of the spies out of 12, two out of 12, that were willing to stand alone. Now, I think it was really interesting that Caleb and Joshua saw the same thing as everyone else saw. Caleb and Joshua reported in the same way. In fact, all the other spies, the other 10, all saw the same thing that Caleb and Joshua saw. And they were all willing to report the same thing. But the perspective that Caleb and Joshua had was different than anyone else. Because they said, we can do this. We can do this. Where everyone else said, we can't. How many times are you in a peer pressure situation where you feel like, I can't? And everyone says you can't, but you need to say, but I can. That takes courage. It takes courage. And Joshua was one of those. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. You see, God gave a promise. And so Joshua was going to hold on to the promise. He was going to believe that God was going to work through that. There are times that you may have a promise that God's given in your life, and it's hard for you to hold on, but you need to hold on. You need to trust God. You need to believe him. You need to make sure nothing will dissuade you from trusting what God has promised and God is working. Now, Joshua was a courageous leader, and we see that, but there are at least four times that it says in Scripture, in this passage, these passages, be of good courage. So at least that many times, God is speaking to him. Now, if somebody has to keep telling you something about something, if they're saying, I want you to be strong, be of courage, that must mean the enemy is working extra to try to defeat you and discourage you. But God is reminding you multiple times, be of courage, be strong, I got this. And so you just have to say, okay, I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to do, I'm going to walk, I'm going to trust you. Joshua was a courageous leader because he kept his sight on the bigness of God. You see, all the others were looking at the bigness of the others that are around him, the enemy. They said, we're like grasshoppers. I mean, like they see us like that. We're like nothing. We can't do this. And Joshua and Caleb said, but with the Lord, we can do it. We can do it. We don't have to look at what the circumstances are. We don't have to look at what they have versus what we have. We don't have to compare. We can just trust the bigness of God who's able to work. You see, also, as we look at that, Joshua was a courageous leader because he believed God's promises. If God gives you a promise, hold on to it. Believe it. Trust him. He wants to work in response. You see, the scripture said, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will prosper and be successful. I commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. What a wonderful promise is given to us. In Joshua 1:8, actually, if we looked at outside of the story. But what a wonderful promise that is there. You see, there's a whole bunch of criteria. God is all about geometry, right? If you do this, then the if and then statements that we're always kind of, we had to keep memorizing and thinking about. in school? Yes, if then. And you'll see that throughout Scripture. That means if you will do what you're supposed to do, then God will do what he is supposed to do. He's given his promise. And so we see, he says that, that if you keep the book of the law always on your lips, meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written into it. Do not turn from the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So God wants to pour out a blessing on your lives. He wants to do that. He wants to make that possible. But he cannot do it if you don't fulfill the if. God's then can't happen unless your if takes place. And see, so many times in our world, what do we want? We say, God, if you'll show me, then I'll believe. And God says, if you believe, I'll show you. It's so important that we would understand. So first of all, our belief has to be in that place. See, Joshua had to believe that God was more powerful than the barriers that were before them. He had to believe. Now, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about the fact that, remember, Joshua has been with Moses the whole time. Joshua, to go into the promised land, they had to do 40 years around before Joshua was able to lead the people into the promised land, right? We remember this. They took that detour. Their GPS wasn't working so well. And they took that 40-year detour as they were kind of circling around. We talked about that last week. The fact is that now, as we look at this, I was thinking, I don't know why it never clicked in my brain, but Joshua had to wait 40 years for the promise. Like, I don't know. I didn't think about, like, how he had to keep waiting for that to be fulfilled until I was thinking about it this week. And I thought, wow, he wasn't one of the younger generation. He was one of the older generation, and he had to wait. He was younger compared to Moses, but he was amidst the older generation. But he had to wait 40 years to see the promise of God fulfilled. And he waited, and he waited, and he waited. Sometimes waiting takes a long time. It feels like forever. As we're waiting for God to fulfill the promise. But all that time, God was saying, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. You can do this. You can do this. He said this, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God has given you for your own. 40 years he waited for this. 40, I mean, you must think he must have had a plan. 40 years he must have been thinking about, like, okay, if, because this, you know, this, the two spies, they came back. This was right after the 40, when they got into the wilderness. So it was that first year. So I guess that's the part that I didn't click in my brain, that I thought, oh, wait a minute. So, like, they had to take that 40-year detour because they refused to believe what God was saying. And so as they took that 40-year detour, you have to imagine Joshua being a leader. He must have been thinking about a plan. He must have been thinking all that time. And God said, no, not your plan, but mine. Here's what it is. And so we see that this is the plan that God gives him. Now, Joshua and the people had to cross the Jordan River. It was flood stage time. Circumstances are bad. And Joshua and the 3 million that are with him have to cross the river. How? Circumstances say it's impossible. The world may say it's impossible for whatever the promise that God has given to you. The world may say this can't happen. But God says, watch. Watch. And what happens? At flood stage, the people of Israel, they go down and they go marching right through the Jordan on dry ground. God did it for their parents. The Red Sea. Now he's going to do it for them. They're going to say, wow, what a powerful thing that God does. Wherever he sends, we're going to go. Whatever he says, we're going to do. Why? Because they've seen the power of God work. They crossed the Jordan. Joshua's men had to be circumcised before the battle. This does not sound like routine get ready for battle. If you don't know what circumcision is, ask somebody. But ask a man. This is painful. In fact, all the men were circumcised, and it said for a few days, only women were available for anything that was needed to be done. Because the men were out of commission. Now, does that sound like, hey, we're going to go into battle. I want you to really kind of get your sight ready, get everything in place, really be in great shape. I want you to run around a little bit. I want you to make sure you're, that's what sounds like we're getting ready for battle. Not, okay, I want you all to be circumcised. Before a battle? Are you kidding me? Like, this is going to strengthen us? This is going to set you apart for God. This is going to set you apart for God. Trust me. Trust me. You know, sometimes it's a narrow line between what God asks us to do that feels foolish versus what is his command. Sometimes it's just a narrow line because really, this doesn't sound like it makes sense. But God doesn't stop here. He says Joshua's army has to overcome the walls of Jericho, a very famous city, very fortified city. In fact, I thought this was important, 15-foot stone wall topped by mud brick wall of 6 foot thick, 18 to 24 feet high. This was a fortified wall. You think that's not a barrier? And here's what God says. I want you just to march around the wall. Okay? Just march around it. Don't say anything. Just march around it. First day. Do it again the next day. In fact, do it again another day. And another. In fact, do it for 6 days. Don't say anything. Just march around the wall. Then on the seventh day, okay, then we fight, right? No, I want you to blow your horns and just shout. Blow my horns and shout? Really? Yeah, and when you do that, the walls are going to come down. Does that make sense? No. Does that fit into what you might think would be how is God going to fulfill his promise? No. It doesn't add up at all. Yeah, so how are we going to conquer them? Well, the walls are going to fall down. That's going to be a bridge that you can go right into the city, just like that. And all we're going to do is shout and blow horns? Like, really? But for 40 years, God had prepared Joshua for these days. And he was willing to overcome any barrier by God's strength to fulfill what God was doing. He said, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. He speaks about it in the past tense. You see, God is not in time. God is in your present, he's in your past, and he's in your future all at once. And when God says, I have done this, you don't have to doubt it, because he's done it. You just have to trust him. It's already complete. The fact is, as we look at this, courage must be based in the power and the promise of God, not in relying on our own strength and resources. What do we think about courage? We think about what we can do, what we have done, what we have, what are our resources. And it's not unreasonable to think that way. That's normal. You would normally think about how can we do this? How much can we do? What can, you know, like what do we have going for us? What do they have? Okay, not so much. For us, quite a bit for them. Okay, so we're going to really trust God for this one. You know, sometimes God needs to get you into the place where it's not so much for you and so much for someone else, so you really trust God for what he wants you to see happen. And sometimes we just need to say, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. You see, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. We don't trust in our resources. We don't trust in our own strength. When God says he's going to do something, he wants you to have all the faith possible to make that happen. You see, courage came in trusting God to make a way through the Jordan where there seemed like there was no way. That's where courage came. They were trusting God even though they didn't know how it was going to ever happen. And humanly, this is the worst time possible. Lord, couldn't you pick another time for us to go through this river flood stage? Like, if it were just like normal, like, could we just go across? Because, you know, later on, this is where Jesus was baptized. What an incredible experience. In fact, even later on, I had the opportunity of being baptized in the Jordan. It was an awesome experience. But you think about, wow, what God has done at the worst possible situation. Courage came in believing God's direction when it didn't make sense humanly to weaken your army before a battle. But it doesn't make sense, but we're going to trust God because we know God knows what's best. This does not work. It doesn't make sense to weaken our army just before the battle. But if God said it, we're going to do it. How many times? I think of even our tithing as an opportunity of trusting God. You know how many people say we can't afford to tithe? They say, Pastor, we would like to give 10%, but we can't afford to do that. We're barely making it now. And I say, really? I think what God tells us is that we trust him when humanly it doesn't seem possible. And that's where faith is built. That's where we start to learn and to experience obedience, not turning to the right or the left, but God says, I will pour out a blessing on your lives. And we start to say, okay. Courage came when they held on to God's promise in spite of absurdity of it really happening. Now, you probably didn't have that word. You that try to fill in the blanks ahead of time, you didn't have that one in that blank. I already know that. Cross it out, put it that one in. Absurdity. The fact is, it was totally absurd to think walking around a wall 7 times is going to make it fall down. I don't care how big the army was. It was crazy thinking. But see, it was trusting God in spite of what it seemed. You see, courage is not in the absence of fear, but in moving forward in spite of fear. That's what we do. It's not the absence. It's moving forward in spite of it. It's trusting God no matter what. You see, God was able to work through a new generation. He couldn't work through the old generation. Boy, is this a challenge, to every one of us at whatever age we're at? I never want to be at a point where God can't work through my life. I never want to be. But here's what happens. As we get older, no offense, either side, younger, older, but as we get older, we get safer, more cautious. Why? Because we've been burned a few times. We've known those experiences. We don't want to get burned again. And so we get more and more cautious and safer all the time. But you know what? We need never to default to safe. We always need to default to faith. I always need to go back to say, I want to be one who God can trust. I want to be a risk taker, no matter what my age, because I want to always believe the God I serve is big enough to meet those needs and to do whatever is before me. You see, God could not work through the older generation because they said, we can't. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you've commanded us, we'll do. Whatever you send us, we'll go, just as we fully obeyed Moses. So we will obey you. Oh, now this is the younger generation. It's not the older, because the older one didn't, right? They grumbled and complained all the time, and they lost out. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Their prayer. A new generation who was willing to trust and be obedient was necessary. You see, it came, and as we can be able to see, God was able to work through a new generation. A new generation who was willing to trust and be obedient. Can you say in your own heart, I want to be that one. I want to be willing and obedient, that if God calls me to go this way or that, I'm going to say yes. even if it may be hard. You see, this was a new generation who believed the promise of God over 600 years before. Because God gave it to Abraham and said, I'm going to take you into the promised land. And so this, I mean, you know, like you're waiting for a promise and you think, when is this promise going to ever happen? God is timeless. No matter what the time, if God gave the promise, he's going to do it. You just trust him. It may be even past your life and death. But don't get weary in waiting for the promise or believing the promise. Because that's how God's going to work. You see this new generation who would say, we can with God's help, not we can't. Because the others said, look at them, the odds are against us, we can't do this. But God said, yes, we can. We will do. That's what their response is. We will do. The fact is, when we focus on the bigness of God rather than the smallest of ourselves, we choose to be courageous. When you focus, think about this, on the bigness of God rather than the smallness of ourselves, we choose to be courageous, no matter what the situation. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breath of his hand marked off the heavens? You know, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? You know, if you hold out your hand, you could put, like, even if you cupped it, like you could put about a tablespoon of water. God's hands are so big. 2/3 of the earth is water. Just all of that, like right in. Now, you want to trust your strength rather than his? You want to focus on your smallness rather than his bigness? No, what we need to do is refresh. Refresh our mind to say, wait a minute, I want to trust the bigness of God. My smallness will never cut it. His bigness is all that will matter. The enemy is a courage robber. He keeps our thinking small, and he creates doubt and negativity. He keeps your thinking small. That's what the enemy wants to do. He's a courage robber. When you would want to step out in courage, the enemy always throws all those lies at you. And what we need to do is say, no, I am not buying that. I am not going for that. You see, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he's a liar and the father of lies. What are the lies that the enemy is telling you? When you want to be courageous, what are the lies he's telling you? Is he saying God doesn't love you? Is he saying it's too late for you? You messed up too much. You're never going to change. You have failed as a mom or dad or grandparent or whatever. You're on your own. It'll be like this forever. What lie is the enemy telling you every time you want to step out in courage? Because the enemy is always going to be doing this. He's the father of lies. He's going to create negativity and doubt every time you want to believe God can do this. God is a courage builder. He expands our thinking. He creates encouragement and possibility thinking. I will be with you. I will be with you. That's all you need. Hey, if you're going into a battle and you've got God on your side, who else do you need? I mean, remember, my little water, even if I had a whole army of little guys with water in their hand, it compares nothing to the bigness of the God that we serve. And so I have to understand, wow, what does he want to do? And what would be with you? There's a promise that you need to be able to think, and I want you to think about that. His response is, I will be with you. What is God calling you to have courage in your life? What does he want you to accomplish or you to do? What are the areas that he's reaching into your life? Because he says, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is possible, but with impossible. But with God, all things are. But with God, all things are. Yes. The importance, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yes, be courageous. God requires our full obedience, our complete trust. Our compliance brings all his promises to our lives. Yes, full obedience, complete trust. Now, don't step out in courage if you're not being obedient in your life. No, don't do that. That's foolish. But if you're being fully obedient in your life and you know you're trusting God, then step out because God wants to show himself to you. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. What an incredible promise that God gives to us. He says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for man for you to gain the whole world yet forfeit your soul? Be courageous. Be courageous. I want to have prayer for you before we close. And I want you to kind of be courageous. If God has spoken to your heart about something that the enemy has said you can't, but you need to trust his promise, would you stand right where you are? Because I'd like to pray for you that you'll have the courage to keep walking in it. God has said you need to do this, and I want you to walk in this way. But the enemy's kind of whispering those negative things and saying, you can't. You'll never do this. It'll never happen. I know the promise is there, but it'll never work. I mean, he's speaking those things into your life, and you want courage to fulfill that, so you'll just stand right where you are. Amen. We all need courage, and maybe whatever it is in your life, maybe it's in your world, your workplace, your school, whatever the challenge is before you, but you need courage to fulfill it and see it happen. And so this morning you're just saying, I need courage in my life, and I'm going to stand and trust God that he's going to give me the courage to believe, the courage to trust, the courage to be obedient, the courage to follow through. I'm going to trust him for that right now. And I want to stand and just acknowledge by making a courageous stand in front of people to say, yes, I'm going to trust God for this because I'm believing God wants to do more than he's ever done before. And I don't want to look at my own resources and look at what's around me. I want to trust God for what he wants to do and what he wants to accomplish. And I need courage to do that. And I'm going to stand as my first step of courage and believing he's going to work in response to that. Amen. Father, thank you so much for each one that is standing. Lord, we're standing by faith, in courage, believing. We know what the enemy's lies are and what he has said, but we're trusting you, Lord, because we believe that you are greater. Who has measured the water? Who has measured the distance of the stars? And yet you have known all of those. Wow. You hold them in your hand and we say, wow, what an amazing God. Lord, help us not to cave and give in to the lies of the enemy. Help us to walk in obedience and trust, knowing and believing you're in this. You're going to work through this. You're going to be all that we need at the moment that we need it because of who you are, not because of who we are. So we thank you. Lord, go with us this week. Help us to walk in courage. Let's all stand together. Father, we may not be aware of the courage moment that's needed right now, but we are aware all of us need courage if we're going to follow you with our whole heart. Go with us and help us to be Joshua's. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.